General Meetings, Ottawa, April 1976. Open meeting.
Have a few thoughts on my heart, brethren, in connection with the importance of the Word of God. And I had three portions before me, and that was connected with the how the Lord is the one who brings His Word before us, whether we're discouraged individually or whether it has to do with His people collectively. or whether it has to do with the state of the world, the Lord Jesus is the answer for every situation, and His Word is that which directs us. One has enjoyed that passage, "Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name." I wondered why that was. I thought of the wonders and glory of the name of the Lord Jesus. Then why is it Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name? Well, it's His Word that reveals the person to us. We hear much of people speaking about God and about Christ and about Jesus, but it's His Word that reveals this person to us in the glory of who He is, in the wonders of what He has done for us. I'd just like to look at three passages. First of all, in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in those days? And He said unto them, What things? And they said unto Him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people." Then, passing on a little farther, the 25th verse, "Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way? And while He opened to us the Scriptures, and they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them." Well, here we have two brought before us. Often it has been thought that this was man and wife. I believe it's very likely it was so, because it tells us that Cleopas was married, and that his wife was standing by the cross when the Lord was crucified. And then, too, in the story, we see how they invited Him into their home. So it suggests to us, at least, that perhaps this was a couple. And it tells us they were sad. They hadn't expected that the Lord would not restore the kingdom at that time. They had hoped that He would bring about the promised blessing, but instead of that, as we're told in Daniel, Messiah the Prince shall be cut off and shall have nothing. It seemed as if his life ended in disappointment, and they had seen him rejected by the scribes and Pharisees, and now it seemed as if the one whom they loved had been taken away from them, and what did they have? And they were sad. Perhaps there's some individual, perhaps there's some couple here, and you have come to these meetings and you feel thoroughly discouraged too. You had hoped that the Lord would work out something perhaps in your life, and He hasn't done so. And perhaps as you talk to others, you have the same feelings within you that these two had. as they left Jerusalem, the place where the Lord had put his name, started out to their own home down in Emmaus. We can picture this scene. Perhaps it has happened often in our own lives. Perhaps it's happening in the life of someone who is here this afternoon. But isn't it lovely to see that the Lord had his eye upon these two? He entered fully into their sorrow. He knew their grief. And so it tells us Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Doesn't that touch your heart and mine? To think that the Lord of glory, the one who had accomplished that great work for their blessing and for ours, should know about this too, and should himself condescend in grace to come down and walk with them. And let me say, if there's any here who are discouraged, the Lord hasn't forsaken you, because he has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He never will forsake one of his own. One of the last messages he gave to his own before he went away was, Lo, I am with you always. Or as another translation puts it, all the days. And so he wasn't going to forsake them. He walked with them. He drew out their hearts. I have enjoyed of late that verse in the Psalms that says, Pour out your hearts before him. Isn't it precious? He once poured out his soul unto death, and now he invites us to pour out our hearts before him. Perhaps there are things we cannot tell to anyone else. Perhaps no one else would understand or enter in. But the Lord invites us to pour out our hearts before him, just to tell him everything. And so they told him. Perhaps it might have seemed rather strange that they didn't know better. Hadn't he told them that he was going to die and rise again? But although he had told them, they didn't seem to have laid hold of it. Perhaps we're kind of stupid in some of the things that discourage us too. But nevertheless, the Lord went along with them. And it tells us here that he drew out their hearts, got them to tell what it was that caused them this grief, and then what was the answer. That's what I had particularly before me. What did he bring before them? Why, it tells us, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He brought his precious word before them. It's that word that reveals Christ to the soul. And so this precious book that we have, God's word, it brings before us the Lord Jesus. We know that this book is the written word, and our precious Savior is spoken of as the living word. And so, as the Lord went through the Old Testament scriptures and over again showed them that these types, these shadows, these stories were all things that were written to encourage their hearts, because whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so I say again, if there are any who are discouraged, where are you going to find comfort? Perhaps you say no one understands. Perhaps you've tried to tell someone else, and they tried to enter into it but didn't really understand how you felt. But there's one who loves us perfectly, who understands us perfectly, and his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so as they walked along, he had to say to them, O fools and slow of heart, he had to rebuke them, and sometimes we need this too. But thank God he didn't stop there. He caused their hearts to burn within them. He touched their hearts to the extent that when they came near to this place where they live, it tells us that they constrained him to come in and abide with them. It says he made as though he would have gone further. That is, he didn't force himself upon them, but waited not only for their invitation, but for them, as it were, to say, Lord, we really want to enjoy your company. And so it was, when they constrained him, then he went in, and he revealed himself to them. He was made known to them in the breaking of bread. I rather think that although this was not what we might speak, the regular remembrance of the Lord in His death, that as He lifted those pierced hands and broke the bread, they saw the nail prints. They remembered the night when He had instituted the feast, and their hearts were stirred and touched. And so it tells us, they rose up and they went back to Jerusalem. What was it made them want to go back? Did He tell them they shouldn't have left Jerusalem? Did He tell them that they ought to go back? No, He didn't say any such thing, but He did touch their hearts. He did warm their hearts by His precious word. He made Himself known to them, and so that they themselves would say, did not our heart burn within us while He talked to us by the way? Even though they hadn't recognized this wonderful stranger who was walking with them, He did make Himself known to their hearts in this wonderful way. And so I just say here that if there is anyone who has come to the meeting and you were sad and discouraged, isn't it precious to know that the Lord Jesus wants to do just this for you? He wants to draw near to you. He wants to walk with you. He not only died to put away our sins, this is wonderful, but He died because He wanted to have your company and mine in the Father's house forever. As soon as sin entered, we find God becoming a seeking God. And when He had redeemed His people and brought them out into the wilderness, He said, make me a tabernacle that I may dwell among them. And when He was rejected by the nation of Israel, and it was about to set aside that place, Jerusalem, where He had put His name, He was soon to have to say, your house is left unto you desolate. What did He do in the 18th of Matthew? He just said, as it were, but there will be a place where I'll meet with you. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, isn't it precious? And so I say again, it's His company and it's His word that brings the truth before our souls that sustains us. We all know many of these precious promises in God's word. These things that so often encourage us in times of sorrow, there are so many that we can enjoy, and the Lord delights to bring them before us. And I suppose many of us have had experiences where there has been some verse of Scripture brought home to us in power. I think of the 16th Psalm where the Lord Jesus prophetically said, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I heard of a lady, and she had a Bible that she liked to mark up. And she just enjoyed the precious promises of God's Word. And over and over again, they spoke to her heart. And whenever some verse became particularly precious to her, she just put beside it T&P. Someone picked up her Bible and wondered why she had marked this beside so many verses, T&P. They said, what does this mean? She said, tried and proven. Tried and proven. And so it is the Lord Himself here. He warmed the hearts of these dear ones. And what did they do? Well, they went back to Jerusalem. And they went back and they had the joy of the Lord's presence collectively, because there He appeared in the midst of His own and said, peace be unto you. And it tells us that He stood in the midst of them and showed and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And then in that 39th verse, behold my hands and feet, that it is I myself. He delighted to reveal Himself to them as the one who had gone into death and who was risen again. How could we turn over also to the 20th chapter of Acts? The 23rd verse, "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Well, here I believe we could say the heart of the apostle was saddened as he saw what was going to come in the church's history. In the previous one we looked at, there were two individuals, sad and discouraged between themselves because of things that troubled their hearts. But here, it isn't so much the personal thing, but the Apostle Paul, I say, he realized what was going to come into that which was so dear to the heart of Christ. He loved the church and gave himself for it. It tells us in the 12th of John that he died that he might gather together in one the children of God that are scattered abroad. In the 17th of John, he prayed that his own all might be one. It was the desire of his heart for the blessing of his people. He longed that they should share in the full blessing of what was the result of his toil and victory. But now Paul comes to this place, meets these ones from this very, very favored assembly. For what assembly was so favored as Ephesus? Because the epistle to the Ephesians brings before us the very highest line of truth in the Scripture. And here we find Paul comes and meets those who were the leaders in this assembly. He speaks to them about what was his desire. Notice what he says. "The two desires of his heart, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now that is, he sought to walk in the joy of the Lord in his soul, and then he sought to fulfill the service that had been committed to him. And dear brethren, what higher desire could you and I have to go on through life in the company of the Lord Jesus with his joy in our souls, so that as the end approaches, there might be even more joy because we're getting nearer to the moment when we're going to see him face to face. And so he desired that he would finish his course with joy. I must sadly say that all Christians do not finish their course with joy. If you and I get away from the Lord, it may not be a happy ending to the pathway down here. But the apostle's desire was that he might finish his course with joy. And then the Lord has a little place for you and for me to fulfill in the church of God. Are we seeking to fulfill that place? Are we seeking to go on with it? Paul said that he had not shunned to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. If we turn back to Ezekiel, we would see that the prophet there said that unless he delivered the message that was given to him faithfully, God would require the blood of the people at his hand because he hadn't given the message faithfully. The Apostle Paul carries it a little further here and says, not only the warnings of the gospel, but presenting and giving out the whole truth of God. He wouldn't have fulfilled his responsibility if he held back some part of the truth of God. It all must be given out, and given out faithfully. And the apostle sought to do this, and at the end of his life, he could say, I have kept the faith. May the Lord keep us not only knowing the truth, but walking in it, testifying of it. Now he also says here a responsibility to those who take the place of leaders among the people of God. And I've been much struck with this. Feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. Oh, how lovely. Christ is the food for our souls. I've often said that coming to the Bible reading ought to be like coming to a meal table that's spread with delicious things. We all know what it is to sit down. There's a lovely meal prepared. We eat it, we enjoy it, and we get up feeling refreshed, feeling happy that we have enjoyed the provision that has been made. And God has made a wonderful provision for his people. Oh, his word is full of all those good things that he delights to have our souls enjoy. And those who seek to occupy the place of service to the Lord have the privilege, as it were, of seeking to bring forward these precious things, serving them, as it were, to the people of God that they might be fed. Feed the flock of God. Isn't this nice for us? The apostle speaks in another place of those who ministered questions rather than godly edifying. And a meeting can be spoiled by this kind of thing, but God delights to minister to our souls. And Paul had sought to minister to the souls of the saints and give out the whole truth, not without warnings, of course, but to feed their souls. Because I'll say this, brethren, that the only thing that will really keep our motives right, as our brother brought before us, is to have the love of Christ constraining us. It's only as we enjoy his love that we'll have a desire to walk in his ways. Well, then he had to warn what was going to come. He said, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And hasn't the enemy been busy and trying to bring in all kinds of things to rob the saints of God of their portion? Oh, how much evil doctrine there has been that has come in, and many dear saints, instead of enjoying the full ministry of truth that has been given to us in the Word, they have been carried away into things that occupy them with themselves, that, as the fourth of Ephesians tells us, cause them to be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Well, Paul foresaw this, and not only from without, but then he also saw that spirit of things within. And this is very sad. Those who seek to draw away disciples after them. And brethren, all true ministry turns the heart to Christ. Doesn't occupy us with the one who gives out the ministry, but with the Lord Jesus himself. All true ministry, I say, occupies the heart with Christ and draws the soul after him. As one brother said some years ago, he said, in one sense, the under-shepherd seeks to minister the truth so they'll become independent of the under-shepherd and dependent upon the true shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. And Paul could say, death worketh in us, but life in you. Now that is, as the sentence of death was on self, why Christ was brought before the soul, and he was the one who occupied the soul. Well, this is a very sad thing when we try to get a following for ourselves. Draw away disciples after them. It may not be something that's very wrong, but brethren, let's not seek to make followers for ourselves. Seek to attract the saints to Christ. feed them, warn them, but always bring Christ before the soul. And so he speaks of this, and then he speaks of how he felt. Here's another sad heart. The two that went down to Emmaus were individually sad, but here's the one that's sad as he thought of the condition that would come in the church of God. And he says he warned them night and day with tears. But who does he commend them to? Does he commend them to some leaders? No, isn't this lovely? He said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." He brought God as the source of all, for the heart of God and the will of God is the source of all our blessing. He commended them to God. He didn't commend them, I say, to some leaders, and he commended them to God and to the word of his grace. Now, this precious book that gives us all that we need for our pathway. As I get older, I can say that I have found more and more the marvelous resource that we have in this precious book. It's suited to every situation that a young person can be in. It's suited to every situation that an older person can be in. It's suited to every assembly difficulty. It's suited to every problem in the world. It's the wisdom of God given to us for our pathway here. Dear saints of God and young people, read it. Make it your own. One person said to Mr. Darby, "How do you study the scriptures? I'd like to get hold of the truth like you do." And his reply was, "I'd like the truth to get hold of me." Dear friends, that's what we need, for the truth to get hold of us, so that it would so lay hold of us, that it would mold our thoughts, that it would mold our lives. So here again we see a ruined church. We see that which came in all its freshness and began on the day of Pentecost, where they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, where there was such power and great grace was upon them all. When difficulties arose, the Lord gave wisdom to settle them in such a wonderful way so the saints could go on together. But here we find the enemy at work. Need we be utterly discouraged? No. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Let us search the word. It has the answer to our problems. If we, as our brother brought before us in the young people, try and follow our own wisdom, even if we consult with the captains of thousands and hundreds and every leader, we won't get the wisdom of God apart from his word. This precious book is what gives us the wisdom that is needed. And I believe in my inmost soul that there is no situation that can arise in the assembly of God's people that we will not find an answer in this precious book if we only come before the Lord humbly. I commend you to God. That's the person who can alone preserve the flock of God and his word, which is the guide for us. So here we have his word, for shall I say, a ruined church. Let's turn over now to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy it is. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given unto me, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Here, perhaps, we could say a ruined world, and Timothy saw the beginning of the breakdown of things in the world, and it tells us here, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Don't expect the world to get better. Don't expect that it's going to improve. It's ripening for judgment. And God has told us that things are going to get worse. And the Lord Jesus also said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's easy for our hearts to grow cold when iniquity abounds. But then I just wanted to mention here how he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. And then he speaks of how Timothy had known the Holy Scriptures. We are living, dear friends and dear young people, in days of changing standards. We're living in times when we find young people say, well, people used to think that way, but you know, people's opinion have changed. People have different ideas. They once looked at things as wrong, but you know, we're living in a different age today, and we're very prone to allow our thoughts to be molded by what's going on in this wicked world about us. And what does Paul say? Does he say, Timothy, well, you know, you have to sort of keep up with the times and go along with the descending sense of values and morals and what is right? No. He says, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. What did he give as we see the ruin of the world? And surely I say again, dear young people, you who go to school know more about it than I do. You who work in offices and in shops know how everything that God has established as to the order of things in this world is gradually crumbling and going to pieces. And I plead with you to follow the light and wisdom of God's Word. Don't allow your thoughts and standards to be changed by the changing opinions of men. God's Word is thoroughly up to date. It's more up to date than anything that man writes, because it's written by the wisdom of the eternal God, who knew all about these days in which we live, who told us about them, who warned us of them, but who has given us a resource in them. And so here was Timothy, how privileged he was. It tells us from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And that these Holy Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so I speak especially to those who are young, but I also speak to those of us who are older, because we're prone to be affected more than we think by the spirit of the age in which we live. As men give up, we tend to be affected, and as the Lord Jesus said, we tend to grow cold. Oh, what a resource we have. This precious book, God's standards haven't changed. His Word gives us full instruction. And I plead with you, as you come to decisions in your life, as young people go out together, as you establish homes, and as you seek to work among the people at the office, don't allow your thoughts and ideals to descend to the level of what's going on. People's consciences are being seared with hot irons. They're giving up all thought of what is right before God. Oh, may God grant that we'll heed this warning that was given to Timothy. Continue thou in the things which thou hast heard. And then that he was to value these precious scriptures that had been given by inspiration of God. Now, this is not the opinions of men, but this is God's Word. It's His wisdom for our pathway. And it shows us not only the way of salvation, but it also shows us all that we need for our pathway. And so here we have, shall I say, a ruined world, but still this precious book remains. And so whether it was individuals who were cast down and discouraged, the Lord walked with them and brought His precious word before them, warmed their hearts and drew them back to Jerusalem. As Paul saw the ruin of the church, he commended them to God and to the word of His grace and sought to encourage them to go on feeding the flock of God in spite of all that would come in. And then when we see the breakdown of the world, we still have something that doesn't change. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away." Oh, may the Lord keep us in these last days. The Lord is going to come soon. He's going to give that shout. And what else will really matter but His approval? Not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. What really ought to count for you and for me is having the Lord's approval. And in His word, we'll learn His mind, and we'll learn how we can have His approval. And so this is what stays our hearts in a day like this. This is what gives courage to go on. And this is what will fill our hearts with joy in another day when we look into His blessed face and know that in some little measure we had His approval as we sought to walk in the company of the Lord Jesus and in the light and wisdom of His precious word.
As we have been able, privileged to be in these meetings, been many thoughts that have come before our hearts, many things to encourage us in the pathway. One was thinking of that which we find in the Scriptures. Seekest thou great things? Seek them not. Surely so many things that are about us in every day that would have us to seek those great things. It's not hard to want to be great, great in most anything, anything that will satisfy the longings of our own desires. Surely isn't that the expression of this world, to set your sights on great horizons? That is, to put your thoughts on something that's off in the distance and to seek after it, to strive for that which will bring you up in this world. But all beloved, if we seek those things which are of this world, it will only take us to the height of this world. But oh, if we, as it were, set our affection on things above and seek those things which are of the glory, why, surely we'll be lifted higher than circumstances. We'll be lifted out of this scene. We'll be brought into that precious relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so it is true that it is the Word of God that reveals these things unto us. And so we find, beloved, that we live, as it were, in those last days, in last times, but still we have that within our nature that would have us to seek great things. But oh, let's turn to Revelation and chapter 3. Revelation and chapter 3. and verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an opened door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Oh, beloved, the word of God, I believe, would bring before us these times. It would show us that we have little strength. As our brother brought before us, how important the word of God is. It is the source of life, the Spirit of God taking of the things of Christ and revealing them unto us. But the world would say it's of little importance. The word of God is old-fashioned. It doesn't have the meaning it once did. But, oh, God would say, yes, it is still that precious living word that liveth and abideth forever. But it is, as we find here, the Spirit of God showing us that we have little strength. Little strength. And so, we're not after those great things, but we're kept by that which the world despises. And so it goes on, again bringing the importance of the Word of God before the name, Thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Well, beloved, wouldn't it be wonderful to be found in that place where this is owned? Yes, to be found even though there might be little strength, but I might be found where the Word of God and the precious name of Christ is owned. Oh, we know that this world would have us seek something better, would have us to go beyond the Word. But God has told us that we only have that which is little strength. Little. Well, it may be contrary to what we desire, but oh, isn't it worth it? Because we find that the Lord is in that place. We are those that would be found having little strength. What does that mean? It means I have no strength within myself. I believe it's been brought out how wonderful it is to be together in a company like this. We might say to be lost in the company and to be found in the strength of the company. But, oh, beloved, how important it is that we realize that when we go forth from this place, we'll not be able to lean on the strength of our brethren. We'll not be able, as it were, to have the strength of the company in which we're found to draw sustaining strength from and to present a Christian testimony. No, we'll be leaning only upon that which we've gleaned and made for ourselves, a little strength. We find that in the book of the Song of Solomon, we find there it says, Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Oh, one who has little strength. Beloved, we surely do have that which is before us. We have the glory shining before us. But how is it that we attain to that? Why, we attain by leaning hard upon our beloved one. Yes, the Lord Jesus would ever come in and provide those things which we have need of. The Lord Jesus looks into our hearts this afternoon, and He knows exactly what each one needs. He knows the longings of our hearts. And oh, beloved, if we can but patiently wait for that which He has for us, why, we shall be sustained. We have no strength in ourselves. Thou hast, that's a positive statement by the Spirit of God. Thou hast a little strength. Thou art weak. Oh, beloved, how weak we really are. And how the Lord will put us through certain tests. And how is it that we're able to overcome in these tests? By looking within? No. By looking around? No. But by looking beyond? Beyond. And how do we look beyond? By obtaining our strength from this Word. Because this Word reveals that person unto us. Thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Well, we know in the book of Ezekiel it speaks there of despising the day of little things. Oh, beloved, how wonderful to be found as those who are in those little things. Let's turn over, if you might, to Matthew, Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew 14. And let's just begin, as it were, at the end of verse 29. Go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Oh, we find this one of little faith. But oh, wasn't that faith sufficient? Wasn't it sufficient to say, Lord, save me? He knew, as it were, that he had not the strength within himself. But what do we find here in this 14th of Matthew? I believe, beloved, we find, as it were, a little picture of the assembly. We find, as it were, those that were constrained into a place of confinement, protective confinement. And we find there in that company, there was one who sought to walk on the water and go to Jesus. And oh, beloved, he would not have sunk had he taken his eyes off the Lord. Had he not taken his eyes off Christ, he would not have sunk. But oh, beloved, you and I would be without that statement, that blessed statement, Lord, save me. And immediately, oh, the Lord stretched forth his hand and he caught him. He took hold of him. And we know then that Peter was sustained. And is it any difference for us? There is no difference. Yes, you, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Oh, how wonderful, how blessed it is for all that the Lord would reveal to us in his precious word. All the things that he would bring before us of his manifold glories and of all the blessings which we have obtained through him. And wherefore, beloved, do we doubt these things? Wherefore do we doubt these things? Oh, because we are those who are of little faith. Well, I was thinking this morning as some of the comments were made, beloved, why is it that we can be kept in that pathway? The Word of God will direct us. And I sometimes wonder if we get the impression that we have to make a choice. We sometimes get the feeling that we get the idea that we're going to have to sit down and take all of the scriptures. We're going to have to examine them one by one. And we're going to have to make a choice. Well, beloved, I don't believe that that's the case. I believe the choice has already been made. All we must do is bow to the scriptures, to submit ourselves to the Word of God. Yes, God has laid that pathway out before us, and so that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, that we might walk in that pathway of obedience, because the Word describes it. The Word lays it before us. And oh, we who are of little faith and of little strength, isn't it wonderful that the Lord saw our need and put it before us, that we submit ourselves unto that which he has given us. Yes, the Lord tells us over and over, I believe it's four times in the book of Matthew, that we find that expression of little faith. And in each case we find that there is that which deals with the troubles within, the troubles without, and everything that is involved with life. And what do we find? We find, beloved, that we fail. We find that in every case, in every circumstance that comes into our life, why, we fail in ourselves. But where is the great success? The success is when we but turn to the Word of God that reveals the person of Christ and we follow in his blessed steps. Yes, we who are of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When we, as it were, come into that blessed scene above, and we see all that the Lord would display before us, why, we'll see all of these things and we'll wonder why we did not trust him more. Why we didn't, as it were, take more heed to those things which were spoken. Oh, the Lord has to say here, O ye of little faith. If we were to turn back into the book of Kings, we find there where there was the Shunammite woman, the one who was of great faith. And she could take, as it were, all of her troubles up, and she could lay them down and she could go out from them and go to the man of God. We find, as it were, in the case of the daughters of Zelophehad, we find that there was a circumstance that had never confronted the children of Israel before, and they just went into the presence of Moses, and God brought forth those things that they desired. Those were those, I believe, beloved, who were of faith. I would think of them as great faith, when, oh, the Lord would not retain anything from us just because there was little faith. But, oh, whatsoever we would ask in His name, how willing He would be to give it unto us. Oh, how short we fall because we are those who are of little faith. What was it? Was it Abraham? He failed to ask for 5 souls? Beloved, oh, that we might present all our petitions before Him, that we might see and delight in the things which He would do for us. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for Him, beloved? And each day as we go into His presence, each day as we lay all our cares and our troubles before Him, why, what do we find? We have to answer in the same language of Jeremiah, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Well, are we of those of little faith? Or can we, as it were, in confidence, lay these things before the Lord? In faith, asking of God, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself, and that before God. Yes, that we might see the joys of the Lord here in the land of the living. That we might see the unfolding, as it were, of the blessings that God has for His people and for those that would follow in His path. Oh, how wonderful, beloved, just to submit to the Word of God. Ye of little faith, the Lord has had to lay the whole pathway out before us. And all we need to do is but walk in that path as those who are of little faith. And what do we find? We find that there's going to be great blessing. Yes, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Oh, beloved, how wonderful to be found in that relationship with Him who loves us and has given Himself for us. Well, let's turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews and chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37. For yet a little while, and He that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Oh, yet a little while. Oh, isn't that encouraging, beloved? A little while. We who are of little faith only have to wait a little while. Yes, the Lord Jesus is coming again, or for yet a little while. Oh, beloved, how long is that? It's just a little while. And what is it going to be? Why, it's going to be, as it were, nothing. As we get into the glory and we look back at that path, we say, my, wasn't it wonderful as we waited for the Son of God to come, and He came so soon. Oh, yes, just a little while. Beloved, the path may be rough, but we're not far from home. Yes, the Lord has given us everything that we need here in the pathway. And what is it for? To encourage us for just a little while. Oh, I've often thought of how terrible it would be if I had to look forward to a life like Methuselah. To be able, as it were, in this world to live beyond 900 years. And I think of those things, as it were, that would trouble my heart as we go about, as we travel, as you see and meet the dear saints. You see, as it were, all the troubles that are mounded up upon the people of God. But oh, how wonderful, as you see these troubles mound up, you see the hand of God that would come forth and remove them, would take them away. Oh, beloved, how wonderful to be able to cast all our care upon Him. Yes, to take those troubles in and leave them in the presence of the Lord. But so often we pick our troubles up, take them into the presence of the Lord, tell Him all about those troubles, then pick our troubles up and carry them out with us. Well, why go in and give them unto the Lord if you're going to take them back? The Lord has asked us to bring them into Him, to cast them upon Him. Yes, to hurl them upon the Lord. Why, He will sustain us. Oh, beloved, it's just this little while that we have. Oh, the troubles mounted up. But oh, if I had to wait beyond 900 years, how the burdens would weigh me down. The Apostle Paul could say, there cometh upon me daily the cares of the assemblies. Oh, beloved, how he could enter into those things. How we can too, that we might pray for one another. But oh, beloved, not as it were to take them and make them our own. Not as it were to discourage us in the path, that we might lose sight of the fact that it's only a little while. I marvel year by year that we're allowed to go on. And I remember some years ago in a certain assembly, after there was a conference, the brother stood up and he said, "Beloved," he says, "there will not be another conference here next year." And you should have seen the expressions on the faces of the saints. Why, we might say that that conference was a tradition in that area, because there was a desire to be together for those people. And he says, "If the Lord come, if the Lord come." Oh, there wasn't to be one, if the Lord come. Oh, how much better it was going to be, beloved, to be in the presence of the Lord. What a wonderful conference that's going to be, if we could use such a poor descriptive word. Oh, just a little while. And when we go into the presence of the Lord, what about all of the sufferings of this little while? Why, they won't be worthy to even be mentioned. They won't even be worth considering. Why? Because everything that takes place in this world is to give us a deeper appreciation of Christ. Oh, beloved, if everything was going the way that we thought that they ought to go, if we might say that everything was going my way, would you really want the Lord to come? Would you really want the Lord to come? Oh, how it is, beloved, that oftentimes why we say, well, when we're in trouble, when there's adversity, yes, I wish the Lord would come. But, beloved, you don't have to wish the Lord to come then. He said, just a little while, and He that will come, will come. I remember a few weeks ago, maybe it's months now, time goes by so quickly, I was speaking to a fiancé and her bridegroom-to-be. And I said, would you want the Lord to come? I guess the wedding was a week away. And they looked at me, both of them, with just as sincere as they could be. And they said, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Oh, beloved, I believe them. I believe them. But is that the way that we want it to? The Lord to come? Oh, how blessed it is to have that present hope before our souls. The Lord has said in His Word, it's just a little while. A little while. Oh, if we had the thoughts to think that we had to live a long life, or as our brother brought before us this morning, that some things would have to be accomplished in the Word of God before it would be possible, why would our hearts not, as it were, be discouraged? Would we not lose sight of that precious, blessed hope? Oh, the Lord is coming, and it's only going to be just a little while. A little while. Well, beloved, as we wait for the Lord to come, what is it that we are to do? What is it and where is it that we are to be found? What is it that we need before our souls? Would you turn with me to the book of Ezekiel? And I believe it's the 11th chapter. Ezekiel, the 11th chapter. And let's read verse 16. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come, Oh, beloved, how wonderful we see this word brought before us. The Lord, as it were, would provide for those who have little strength, those who have little faith, those that have but a little while, why He would provide for us, why, a little sanctuary. Oh, a little sanctuary, just a place where we might meet with Him. Oh, in this world that is a wilderness wide, we might say that the Lord would bring forth a pleasant place. He would bring forth a place where there could be joy. Isaiah, I believe, might give us a little insight as to this possible place. 26th chapter. Yes. Isaiah 26 and verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. Yes, come apart into a little place. As it were, close out everything that's on the outside. Close away everything that deals with life. Everything that would weigh us down and interrupt our thoughts of the glory, would take away our joys as we meditate upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were, that we might be in that place for just a little moment where He is. Oh, yes, the Lord would provide this little sanctuary, a place where worship, where adoration, where praise might be ushered forth, that we might render the fruit of our lips. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. Oh, that little place of refuge, that little place of quietness. Well, beloved, what do we find here in this 26th chapter? Why, we find, or in this 11th chapter, rather, we find, as it were, the fact that the believers are going to be scattered. It's a matter that there is that which has come in that requires that judgment of God. And as it were, they are going to be taken. They're going to be away. But what does it say? What says, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Why, the Lord, He saw all the need. He saw everything that was needful. He saw all that circumstances were going to bring about. And as it were, He has gone before them, and He says, where they shall come. Yes, the Lord is there that His people might be about them. Oh, He is there that His people might be about Him. Oh, isn't that wonderful, beloved? You and I found together with those of like precious faith, those we trust that would honor the Word of God and not deny His name. And oh, how blessed it is and how wonderful. But what is that greatest of all? Why, He is there. When the hour was come, He sat down with them. Oh, He was there. He was in that place of that sanctuary. He was in that little place. Oh, little enough, beloved, for those who are of little faith. But we know that it was large enough for all that would desire to be found in His company. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Beloved, do you desire to be in the company of the Lord? Do you desire to be found, as it were, in that path of littleness and that place that would put us down, put flesh down, put self aside? Oh, beloved, if we don't see the path of separation, if we don't see the truth of the Word of God, I'm afraid that the will is at work. The will is active. But oh, when we submit ourselves, take to ourselves the Word that God has given to us, my beloved, will be found in that pathway. Is it a pathway of great things? Yes, beloved, it is. Oh, wait a minute now. You think I'm contradicting myself? Oh, beloved, no, I'm not contradicting myself. The path and those that we find ourselves is little. But oh, the blessing that we will have will be beyond our greatest expectation. Oh, yes, the Lord comes in such a way that He blesses us above all that we ask or think. And as I just remembered, I believe our brother quoted that verse, that there was great gladness upon them all. Not just gladness, but great gladness. And we find, especially in the book of Nehemiah, where there was obedience, why it seems to be that the joys overflowed, that there was an abundance, there was an abounding. And is that not what God has for us, each one? Oh, beloved, have you tried what God has said in His Word? Have you taken it to yourself? And are you found on that path, that pathway of obedience? Yes, the Lord will be that little sanctuary. Little, that He might know us, each one. Little, that it might exclude the evil that's around us. But, oh, beloved, little, because it's only just a little while before the Lord shall come. Well, I trust that I haven't painted a discouraging picture or a dismal picture. But, oh, beloved, so often it is possible to think something of ourselves, to think that we are something. But, oh, beloved, we are nothing. We are nothing. In comparison to all that we find in this world, there is only a little company that would seek to be found walking according to truth. There is only just a little company that would seek to be found believing God's Word. And all we hear the expression many times over, "Oh, you don't believe that book anymore." Oh, praise God, I do. By His grace and by His anointing with eye salve, I do believe. Oh, beloved, that we might be a little company, but oh, the littler we realize that we are, why, the more dependence it ought to produce in our hearts. I believe if we were to turn back to the book of Judges, we find there a strange expression in connection with Gideon. What does it say concerning Gideon? Why, it says that Gideon started with this great host, and the Lord worked the numbers down until there was only 300. 300. In comparison to the whole total of Israel. Why, just a little 300 people. Well, isn't that's not very significant, is it, beloved? 300. But all those 300, we know, were able to defeat the host of the Midianites by the grace of God. But what does it say? One expression there, it says that Gideon returned unto the host of the God of Israel. He returned unto the host. 300 people? 300 men? Yes, beloved, 300. A little company. But oh, the Lord was with them. And the Lord was the one who was going to give them strength. Yes, they were going to be found as those who were the host of the God of Israel, the God of hosts. Oh, another lovely expression which brings out littleness. I believe wherever you find that expression, the God of hosts, it has to do with a time of failure, a time of declension, a time when there's nothing outward. There's nothing you might say that you could lay your hands on and say, "This is it. I found it. This is what we follow." It's a time, as it were, when there is that moving by faith. But, oh, what is it? The Lord of hosts. Why? It's a matter of turning unto Him. There's nothing else. There's nothing we can lean upon in ourselves. There's nothing that we can find to strengthen us from without. We have to turn to the Lord. We have to turn to Christ. Oh, beloved, that we might be those that could rejoice because He would take up our cause. Yes, He would give unto us all those things that we would have need of. Yes, beloved, oh, that we might enjoy His company for this little while. Oh, we are of little strength. We do have little faith. And we have a little while to wait, beloved, but He has provided a little sanctuary where He might meet with His people. Oh, that we might come in to His blessed presence and that we might enjoy Him alone with others of like precious faith being gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, beloved, that we might have His Word before us, that His Word would reveal unto us the pathway. Oh, do you really want to know? Do you really want to know what the Lord has for you? Do you really want to know where the Lord would gather you to Himself? Take His precious Word, beloved, and don't rustle it. Submit to it. Yes, the Lord has made the pathway clear. All we need to do is to obey and to be found in that company, rejoicing when He doth come with others of like precious faith, little in strength, but oh, with the glory before us, with the joys, the eternal joys of heaven before us, beloved, with that confidence, I believe I can say that we have sought to give expression and have sought to keep His Word and not deny His name.
173.